Welcome to the July podcast for the Australian Family Physician. I'm Rachel Lee, one of the medical editors, and it's my pleasure today to talk to Dr. Philip Clark, who's a dermatologist in Launceston and a clinical lecturer at the University of Tasmania. Today we're going to be talking about Dr. Clark's article on the treatment options for non-melanoma skin cancers. So welcome, and thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you.
I wanted to start, I guess, at the start with that non-melanoma skin cancers are obviously very common, aren't they?
Indeed. This is by far the most common cancer in Australia, and it's the sort of thing that most doctors are going to be seeing on a regular basis. So the level of suspicion needs to be quite high.
And a level of comfort, obviously, as well with managing them.
Yes.
So perhaps you could talk me through a little bit about basal cell carcinomas.
This is the most common, and so probably 60 or 70% of the skin cancers doctors will see are going to be BCC. And there's a few subtypes, and the common ones are superficial BCC and nodular BCC. So the nodular BCC is a sort of classic pearly raised lesion with the telangiectasies, and stretching tends to highlight them very nicely. And if they develop a little bit further, they get the central ulcer, giving it its classic name of rodent ulcer. And they're typically found especially on the face. The superficial BCC, which is also very common, often presents more like a red patch. And you do need to be keeping this diagnosis in mind when you're looking at these patches, because they can look like eczema, psoriasis, dermatitis, and you do have to have an index of suspicion when you're looking at these things. And especially in doubt, you do a biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the clues for helping to differentiate that is that most rashes are symmetrical and they have a pattern of coming and going, whereas if you have a particular lesion that doesn't seem to behave like that and is slowly progressive, then you need to have a high index of suspicion.
Mm.
The other type of BCC, which is the least common, is the morphic BCC, and most of us actually tend to miss these until they've been there for quite a while because they don't have any particularly characteristic features early on. Typically they present like a scar. And especially in someone who has badly sun-damaged skin, if you have a sort of a scarred area, especially on the face, that you really can't put down to anything else, you need to keep in mind the possibility that it is a BCC and be prepared again to do a biopsy.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. And what about the other really common ones, which is all... next most common, I guess, which is the squamous cell carcinomas. Can you talk me through
Sure. A
little about them?
Yeah, this is also, you know, nearly as common, probably 30 or 40% of skin cancers. And early versions of an SCC can really just look like a well-developed solar keratosis. One of the major features to be wary of is if there's a solar keratosis that is tender. Most solar keratoses aren't, and if they develop tenderness on pressure, be highly suspicious that there's probably the beginnings of an SCC within the lesion. And so the common places for these are back of the hands and face, and forearms, high exposure, chronic areas. You can then get the more developed SCC, which tends to be sort of larger and dome-shaped and a very hard top on them. Basically, they're a squamous cell carcinoma, so they're producing squamous cells, and there tends to be a build-up of those. And then you have the very rapidly growing version keratoacanthoma. Whenever you go to meetings on skin cancers, people always argue about whether keratoacanthoma is SCC, but practically it's best to lump them all together and treat them as an SCC. They tend to be very rapid in their growth, so they will appear over a number of weeks rather than months, and they have typically a very hard keratin core. sometimes, because they come on so quickly, they're sometimes thought to be an abscess. It will look like an abscess, but certainly when you try to sort of get out the contents, nothing happens apart from a bit of blood. So be wary of something that doesn't release pus if you think it was supposed to. And again, if in doubt, you do a biopsy. The other version of SCC is more along the lines of superficial BCC. So you can get these red, scaly patches appearing, especially on the body and probably even more so on the legs, mostly of women. And again, can look like a rash to start with, especially if they have a few spots. But again, having that index of suspicion in sun-damaged skin that don't behave like a normal rash. And again, being prepared to do a biopsy if there's doubt.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And I guess one of the areas that has been changing rapidly and causes a little bit of confusion is the treatment options. So could you talk us through those a little today?
Sure. Still, the steel is the best. So mm-hmm. most of these, if you can, you cut them out. That is still the best treatment generally. It then becomes an issue of practicality, where the lesion is, how easy it is to excise. But if you assume that for most skin cancers you are going to excise them, you get definitive histology, histology on the margins as well, and about 95% of the time, if you've got clear margins, that's the end of that tumour. So it is the one that's preferable. And if you are confident in removing one, and especially if it's found relatively early, most can be done by a simple elliptical excision, which also makes it easier to go back to the lesion if there are problems with margins. The problems often come up against large lesions, sometimes even the sort of ones that are considered less aggressive, like Bowen's disease and superficial BCC. They may be very shallow, but they can be spread out over a large area, and sometimes excision becomes a difficult option. And this is where some of the other treatment options can be preferable. You then have to then keep in mind the type of tumour you're dealing with and where it is as to whether that's the most appropriate. So, for instance, lesions on the body, if you're treating BCC or Bowen's superficial, you do have the option of things like liquid nitrogen, 5-fluorouracil cream and imiquimod cream. The liquid nitrogen treatment for superficial BCC or Bowen's is quite different to just freezing a sunspot. So the typical treatment would be a 30-second freeze, allowing it to defrost, and then freezing for another 30 seconds. Unless you don't like the patient, I suggest you put some local anaesthetic in first, because that can be quite uncomfortable. But using local anaesthetic, it's actually very straightforward. Yeah. The lesions weep badly for a few days, but the end result mostly is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose one of the areas that it can get a bit confusing is now that we have two creams that we can use for, like 5-fluorouracil for Bowen's disease and imiquimod for superficial BCC, we just need to be careful not to jump to that treatment necessarily as first line. Again, if you can and it's appropriate, you try to excise these lesions, but they can be very useful for more spread out lesions in awkward areas. Generally speaking, with any skin cancer on the face, you try to treat with excision. You need to be particularly careful with more aggressive BCCs on the face when the histology report comes back saying infiltrating or morphic or micronodular, that you don't actually use any topical treatments. You actually cut it out or refer it for excision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And obviously there are, you know, there are some other treatments available, but they used far more rarely, is that right?
Look, most of them you can deal with in the primary setting with excision or liquid nitrogen or cream, but there are a few that where you can get difficult and aggressive tumours. And another very useful treatment is radiotherapy, especially for those over 70, so we have less concern about the long-term side effects of radiotherapy, but they can be very useful treatment for difficult tumours. And certainly don't forget that as a treatment. So the other thing important to try and do as a routine whenever you do a biopsy is to get used to looking carefully at the pathology report. And you need to make note, first of all, of margins, but also of the type of tumour you're dealing with. So these more aggressive ones, such as infiltrating or micronodular or morphic, have a far higher incidence of recurrence if there is problems with the margins. And also if there's any mention, which the pathologist will make, of perineural or perivascular invasion. Really, they're just markers of a more aggressive tumour. And these need to have a very definite excision margin and regular follow-up for these more aggressive ones, and being prepared to refer if there's difficulties with those lesions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned follow-up. Perhaps you could just talk about that a little bit more, about follow-up in general.
In the general practice setting, you will have a group of your patients you know are particularly high risk, the ones that frequently have, for instance, solar keratosis needing to be treated, possibly a strong family history of skin cancer and a personal history. And these are the people that you really need to make a particular note of regular follow-up. And, a yearly check of their whole skin is a very good policy for those high-risk people. They may sometimes go for a little while with nothing much happening, but once they've had skin cancers in the past, you expect you are going to find more in the future. And trying to have a reasonably regular routine with monitoring, and also the patient knowing that they can present with a lesion that they are concerned about as well. There are also other reasons for follow-up, for instance, the more aggressive tumours and the ones that have potential for metastasising, so especially the SCCs on danger areas like lips, ears, nose, around the eyes, and that these are followed regularly, first of all, for signs of recurrence or local spread, or again for new lesions in that area.
Mm. Okay, and one of the other things that's covered in the article that I'll get listeners to have a look at is you've got some great tips for excisions, and some fantastic pictures there. But it's a bit hard to talk about that. So apart from that, I think you've covered most of the questions that I was going to ask about. Is there anything in particular you wanted to highlight or add to what we've talked about today?
I think the main thing is that, especially in Australia, we do need to have a high index of suspicion for skin cancer, and to be also realising that, like most other cancers, they become more common as we get older. So you try to opportunistically look at your patients, especially when they are a little older, look for signs of sun damage and solar keratosis, precursor lesions, or even early skin cancers. And there will be a few of your patients that you know are high risk and have already had several skin cancers, and make sure that they are regularly reviewed. And more so in the general practice setting, as a preventive measure, family members of those high risk people to be aware of the measures they can take to help prevent problems themselves. For instance, children of those patients, we know that if they can survive their first 20 years without any significant sunburns, their risk of skin cancer later is hugely reduced.
Mm.
So that's an area that we really should focus on as well.
Yeah, that's a good area for GPs to get involved, certainly.
Yes.
Okay.
And there tends to be a little bit more listening by patients if there's been a sort of a personal or family run-up with something like skin cancer.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, well, excuse me. Thank you so much for your time today. And as I mentioned earlier, there is an article in this month's AFP, and people can certainly have a look there for further details about everything we've talked about today. So thank you very much.
Thank you.